The ultimate evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not signs, miracles, wonders, gifts, tongues, faith, hope, or holiness. The greatest evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us is love. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love is how the world knows we are followers of Jesus. Love motivates us to minister to the least and the most difficult of these, and in doing so, to serve and love Jesus. Love inspires two great commandments that Jesus gave to us. Love, agape, that is selfless, unconditional, and completely giving, is impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit. He pours God's love out of our hearts. For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When the Holy Spirit fills us with love, every fear, every worry flees. This is God 321. And now, here's your host, Danny Hutchins.
Hello, Detroit. Hello, Port Huron. Hello, Flint. And hello, Lansing. And we say hello to Toledo and our Canadian friends in Windsor and Sarnia. And we say hello this morning to Harbor Springs, Michigan. And we're going to be talking to Pierre Bitar from Pierre Bitar Galleries. And we are so excited because the exhibition of the Gospels of Jesus Christ, painted by a French impressionist, you know, it's the first time in art history, is it not, Pierre? Good morning.
No, first time that an impressionist artist paints the life of Jesus.
Yes, all impressionists, any impressionist artist.
Is an event, yes.
Yes, the Gospels of Jesus. And you have been on the show before talking to us about the paintings of the lives of Christ, the Gospels. And now you're back to announce the opening of your gallery and the hanging of the original work up in Harbor Springs. And the opening of your doors to invite people to come in to see the fabulous work.
Yes, I will be really happy to welcome them all, yes.
Yes, and we should start again by giving people a little bit of the background, how you came to paint these. You have 14 phenomenal paintings that God put in your heart and mind to do.
Well, you know, with the power of God, everything is possible. Mm-hmm. I would like to just make a summary of what we have been talking before, because I did already, I think, four interviews before this one, and I spoke about this divine mission almost in detail. So instead of going back and repeating, of course, these four interviews, I would like to make a summary. But before summarizing all this, I want to give the reason of this mission.
Yes.
How this mission and why this mission occurred this way. And I think that everybody can realize that it is obvious, and everyone can realize that we are losing day after day our religion freedom. The Christian faith is under attack, and the number of Christian believers is reduced generation after generation. At our level, we feel powerless, and our only solution is to pray to our mighty God. Prayer for God are very strong, especially when it has to do for a good deed. If we pray to increase people's faith or bring people to God, this kind of prayer, God will welcome them and answer them immediately.
Yes.
We have to have this faith and believe that God is listening to our prayers, and mainly those kind of prayer where we are trying to make good deeds for other people. Anyway, I was praying to God for a solution. Of course, as I said, we are powerless. We just need God's help. So God listened to my prayer and asked me for a mission. This whole mission took me something like 18 months. And I came today to the point where I can say, if I stand back and analyze the whole mission, I can see how it was logically constructed by God. I couldn't see this step by step. But now that I can stand back, I can realize that it was structured by God step by step.
But Pierre, didn't it start with you crying out to God and about your giving something, doing something for him? The cry came out of you, you know, asking God that this time in your life, you wanted to do something for him. You wanted to speak out for him, and you were asking him how you could do that in the most effective way.
Right. That was the purpose of my prayer, because I was seeing what is going around us. I was seeing how our faith is attacked, and every day we can hear in the radio, you know, how the Christianity is attacked. We are not allowed to pray. We are not allowed to carry the cross. We are not allowed to display the cross. We are not allowed to pray publicly, and so on and so on. Add to that, this kind of attack to the Christian. If you go to and listen to the news, what is happening in the Middle East and in Africa, and how churches are attacked by those suicide bombers, that they disguisely go into a church, sit with the people, and then blew themselves with all what is around them. This is not the work of God. This is the work of evil. God is a loving God. Our God is a loving God. He is the true God. He is the creator. He wants us to love each other, not to kill each other. So those who are killing in the name of God, it must be a different God than ours. It's not our God. You know, the devil can disguise himself on an angel of light.
Yes.
And tell people that he is from God and give them instructions that they keep on following blindly. And it goes from generation to generation, century after century. And here we are now seeing all these things happening around us. And we are powerless, and we must not be afraid. We must not really believe that we are powerless. We have to know that God is behind us, and God, the Almighty, the Creator, can do anything. He cannot, of course, destroy the devil. He cannot, of course, destroy the enemy, for the simple reason that he gave us a free choice. This free choice is given to the bad and the good people. The bad people choose to make this bad choice by killing their human friends and neighbors. This is the choice. God cannot force those people to stop. If he forced them to stop, he took away his promise, which is giving them the free will. So he let them do it, and it's up to us to pray. And he is waiting our prayer, because without our prayer, he cannot act. I mean, he can, but he won't act again because of this free will that he gave to each one of us. So if we do not pray, God cannot do anything. So
yes.
We have to pray. When we pray to him because we are praying, then he feels doing something about what's happening. And this is the purpose of the whole thing.
So, yes, but then when you were asking him, you're praying about what you can do, what you could do, what you could do for him at this time in your life, in your career, because you're a famous painter.
Yeah, this is true, but you know what? Then I didn't know that God is going to use my the talent that he gave me, which is painting. I thought first that he is going to solve the problem on a means, like for example, sending me people who are asking me questions about faith, and then I can help them. I thought that I would be doing this in a very low level. You know, how many people I get of this kind?
Oh, you thought you'd be a counselor and people would come to you and, yes.
Right. This certainly is not enough. But God has the view. He knows everything. So he said, okay, this guy is praying. This guy has a talent. What can I do with his talent in order to spread the word, in order to let people come to me, I'm speaking about God, come to me and recognize that I am their God and worship me, etc., etc. So he used at that time, without my knowledge, he uses my talent of art to ask me a mission. This mission, as you know, consisted on painting the life of Jesus Christ. As I explained in the previous mission, but I don't want to spend time on it because we are limited by 1 hour, and I want to summarize it. Anyway, people can go back, you know, you have into your website an archive where they can go backward and they can see these four interviews or listen to these four interviews and got the whole story. So God has been using the talent he gave me, which is art, in order to make a mission that I didn't know where I'm going to. As a matter of fact, when I start painting, I didn't have in my mind that I have to paint the life of Jesus Christ. I just started to paint from the Bible. I was afraid to paint from the Bible because I am an impressionist artist. I'm used to paint what I see. And to paint from the Bible, you have to count on visions, you have to count on memory, you have to count on things that I never did before. So God encouraged me and helped me. And the more he helps me, the more I feel his presence, the more I ask for his help. And I kept on doing this, and then slowly he started telling me the what is behind the story. He said, okay, you are now painting subject from the Bible, that's fine, but I want you to concentrate on painting the life of our Lord. So I got back to what I did. I realized that some of them are out of the subject, like I was painting the Revelation and all this. I put this painting aside, and I start to concentrate on those paintings. And it inspired me also to have this painting hanging into my gallery, which should become a museum. So my gallery has two levels. The upper level, I kept it for my artwork. The lower level, which is on the street level, I transform it to a museum. And I came now to the finishing point where this museum is done. And this is the purpose of this interview, and I thank you very much for allowing me and giving me this chance to let people know that this museum exists, and they are welcome. It's open graciously to the public every day from 10 in the morning till 5 p.m., except Sunday it is closed, and of course holiday like the 4th of July. So people are really welcome. If they come up north, they will be enjoying very much this museum.
Well, they're going to come up to Harbor Springs, and your museum is right on the Main Street. It's at 188 East Main Street.
188 East Main Street.
Yeah, in Harbor Springs, and that's just north of Petoskey. And, you know, this is a good time in the summer to go right up there. Those who are headed up north, you can take a trip right over to Harbor Springs. Absolutely beautiful views. Absolutely beautiful harbor.
Harbor Springs is a summer resort.
Yes, and then there will be people coming and going, you know, from all kinds of places.
People from Florida, they have a second home here. They are coming from New York. They are coming, of course, from the neighbor states.
Like from Chicago, and, from all the neighbor states.
And from Michigan. So those of living Michigan and they don't know about this area, I think it will be an opportunity for them to come. And if they cannot do it this year, this museum is going to remain, hopefully forever, at least till my last days of my life. But my goal is to keep it running even after my life. And this, I leave this problem to God, because I don't know if a foundation or something can sponsor it to make it surviving. Well, God will solve it, I am sure. So I'm not worrying about it. But my goal is to keep this museum running till the last day of my life. And I prepared it now as a museum. And this is what took me time. I had many projects to be done also. You know, I wrote books that God inspired me to write them, because this story has to be written. and to remain for generation to come. It's a large book of 222 pages that he's titled.
That's your story, right? A new book you just got out. That is your life story, the story of the paintings, the story of your.
I am going to speak in detail about the publication that I have been writing recently, and how I was accepted by a great publisher immediately, and this is another miracle from God to publish these books, and they are coming to the gallery, and they will be here by the end of June, Saturday, the 30th. Everything will be ready, the lighting, the hanging of the painting, and all that. So this great divine mission, I can now stand backward. I can see the whole mission into detail, and I can analyze it. It's like five pillars which constitute this mission. The first pillar was God asked me to paint the life of our Lord. And I paint 14 paintings because knowing that it should be into my gallery as a museum, and knowing that the size of the painting is 80 inch by 60 inch, so I measured the size of the wall of the first level, and I realized that I cannot have more than 14 paintings to make his life. So I studied, of course, how can I summarize on 14 paintings the 3 years of ministry of Jesus Christ on this earth. So I dedicated the first two paintings for his birth, mainly the Annunciation and the birth act, and I dedicate the second two paintings for his childhood. And the Bible doesn't speak too much about the childhood, except that when he had to go to Egypt with Joseph and his mother in order to escape from the killing of the children. And I make a fourth painting also that in childhood when he was 12 years old and he was lost, and his parents thought he was lost, but he was at the temple preaching to the doctors of the Israelites. So these are already four paintings, two for his birth and two for his childhood. And then I did four paintings for his ministry. So the four paintings, of course, contains the miracles that he did. So the first one was not the miracle, really. It was when he went to discover the four disciples. And this was the first painting, as a matter of fact, that I did, because the subject was very inviting for me as an impressionist artist. You know, it happened on the Galilee Lake, so the beach, the yes. lake, the hills behind.
That was the one that attracted me. That was the one that I saw right. when I was up, and that's I saw the first painting right there in your gallery window.
Yeah, amazingly, this was the one, and I start having it on the window even before knowing that I will have to my mission consists on painting the life of Jesus Christ. I didn't know that it should be a series of painting representing his life. Anyway, this was the first one of his ministry, because this is how he discovered the disciple, the four first disciples. The second one is the second day after he discovered them, and he discovered also Philip. He had already five disciples when he was attending the wedding of Cana with his mother Mary. And the story, of course, everybody knows that he never made any miracle so far, and his mother pushed him to make a miracle. He said, "It's not my time," but Mary was very confident, and she pushed him in a way, and then he did the miracle, and it was a very, very spectacular time, because he has five new disciples behind and never made a miracle. He was human so far. Although he bears on him the divine power, but he never used it. And then at that day, he didn't know that one is going to happen. He was totally kind of human, you know. And then his mother, like, I don't know, God inspired her to push him. And then he listened to his mother, and the miracle happened when he changed the water to wine. And that feast was saved thanks to him, because it was a big dishonor and shame at that time if you have a party like this, which stays days and nights, sometimes goes up to 1 week. The wine came to an end. If the wine comes to an end, this is an insult to the owner, you know. And the mother noticed that the wine is really getting very little, and then she pushed him, and then the miracle happened, and the host was amazed to have at the end of the feast such a wonderful wine, etc., etc. Everybody knows the story. Anyway, this is the second painting of his ministry.
Yes, and all of these, I want to say, Pierre, is in absolutely stunning colors, you know, that you picked there. Yes.
But I want people to come and see them, to judge me. I know that you appreciate very well my work. I hope people will do the same. After all, you know, the purpose is of this museum is to bring new people to God that do not know God.
Yes.
And
then, you know, and you, the work is spectacular. God is moving. People need to come to that museum. The next painting you talk about is Jesus Resurrects a Woman's Son, and that is just a stunning painting, and people see that Jesus heals.
Exactly. I mean, this was also the third painting after, you know, he found the disciples, and after he made this first miracle in the Cana wedding. Then he made he resurrects a boy who was the only child for a widow already. So, you know, this is amazing. They were taking him to bury him. He died already. And passing out of the town under the gate, Jesus was passing by, and he stopped them, and he resurrected the boy in front of a crowd. And this is a beautiful painting that really I am very proud of. I was inspired to do this old village. I was inspired to make the light of the day and light, you know, coming and covering all these colors of people around, and the different expression on each person's face in this painting shows really the miracle of God, which was really guiding my hands, because I didn't have models, I didn't have anything. I was just trying to close my eyes and see what God is asking me to do, and do it. And when people look to the expression of each face in this painting, as well as other painting, each person has an expression that even a model cannot do it. Even if the model is a big actor, he cannot sit for hours keeping one expression. It's impossible. So all these expressions are from God. It's a miracle inside a miracle. I can tell you the truth. And those who come, if they spend some time analyzing each painting and the faces and the mystery of each one, they will be amazed of how God did help me. Because we must not forget that I am an impressionist artist, meaning that I go outdoors and I paint what I see. And here I have nothing to look at and see except vision and inspiration from God. So I would say that after this painting, which is the miracle of resurrecting the son of
the widow, yeah.
Yeah, son of this widow. Then I had also the miracle of the multiplication of bread.
Yeah, feeding the 5,000 people.
Yeah, to feed 5,000 people. And here also I was inspired to take a certain perspective in order to show this crowd, in order to show the boat on the river, in order to show that Jesus is on a hill, and in order to show that the multiplication of bread is followed by the multiplication of fish. You know, what is really difficult to paint the Bible is It's like a story that you have to put on one image, like somebody go and see a movie and come out and say, okay, I must in one picture summarize the movie. It's impossible. A movie is a series of events, and this, his life is a series of events, and each miracle is a series of events that it is practically impossible to explain them on one single painting. You see, this is what is amazing, and people can realize that when they come and they look to the painting. Anyway, with this miracle of the bread, I already had the four painting for his ministry. So let's count: two for his birth, two for his childhood, next four, plus four for his ministry. This makes eight painting. So eight painting, I still have six to go, and these six I dedicated them to his last days, because this is the most important part of his life. His last days started with the Last Supper, as you have seen it. And
I've seen it, but public has, and this is totally different from any Last Supper representation.
Right. It is different because, as I said, all those are really inspiration by God. You know, the old time, all these paintings that you see into the museum, painted by great artists. Really, I admire their work. They are great, great artists. But they did paint this as a commission of somebody who commissioned them to do them. For example, when they commission some artist or an artist to paint something, they will impose what they want, telling him, okay, I want the people of my palace or my family to be part of the model of your paintings. And they give them the best dress that they have. You know, in Italy or in Greece or in Europe at that time, the dressing, the clothes, the habits, the buildings has nothing to do with the land of Israel, you know, where Jesus grew up. So what happens is that these artists, of course, restricted to this kind of limitation, they did paint subjects which are really a little bit far from reality. And they didn't have what the facilities you are having nowadays, like the internet, to go and check, okay, now you can go and ask, okay, I want to check about this country or this city, and you can go with Google Earth and go very deep and analyze what you can visit the world sitting behind your computer now.
Yes, you can.
Absolutely. And this is a facility now that those artists in the past didn't have. Besides, they were forced to accept what the guy who commissioned them
dictates. Yeah, what he wants. Yeah.
Yeah. So this took from the realism of painting the life of Jesus Christ. Besides, they have never been outdoors. They were used to paint indoors with candlelights. You know, they didn't have electricity sometimes. And when they had electricity, they, of course, it was still with all this decor and all this. The faces, as a matter of fact, the faces of the people as a European are nothing to do with the faces of the Middle Eastern. You know, there is a God that did, you know, if you see a Chinese, you know he's Chinese. If you see an Indian, you know he's an Indian. God made all these amazing things that will allow us to distinguish from each one at the other. Look at each one of us. Each one of us has two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and, you know, a face.
We have all the same parts, but we look so different. Yeah.
The same parts. But if you count the number of people who were born since the beginning of Adam and Eve, up till now, of course, many died, etc. But if you accumulate them, maybe you reach trillions of people. Now, not any one of these people, although he has two eyes, a nose, and a mouth, look like another. And what is amazing also, that, you know, this is the power of God. Nobody, no artist in the world, no inventor can make this differences between so many faces and people. Add to that each one of us is changing with the age. I am not having the same face when I was a kid. I didn't have the faith when I was 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 and so on. We change also, although we are individual and particular faith, but this faith is changing every day with the time. So count, add to this all those things. You know that God gave us, for example, each one a voice. When you take the phone and you hear a friend of yours, no matter how many friends you have, you recognize him on the phone. You recognize his voice.
Yes, and a different pattern.
Yeah, this is amazing how each one of us has really a different voice. God does not like monotony, you know. God has a variety of imagination, of course, without limits. So he gave to each one of us a different voice, so we can recognize each other even by phone while talking to each other. God, you know, the hair in our head is counted by God. God, when you lose one hair, he knows that you miss one hair.
Yes, that's true.
This is true. This is amazing. To know to which extent God is in us. You know, I compare us to God like cells in our own body. We have millions, billions of cells in our body, hundreds, thousands of billions of cells. Each cell by itself is a computer. Each cell by itself, when it suffers, it reminds our mind to go and scratch that part. How many times we go to our leg and scratch it, or scratch our head or our body somewhere? This is one of the cell who is telling it, okay, scratch me here or scratch me there. One cell, when it hurts us, one cell sick, it hurts us. And cancer is nothing but the destroying of cells one after the other till we die. We are a cell in God. God is like a huge body, and we are cells in his body. When we do something against his will, when we make a sin, when we do a sin, when we make a mistake, God feels it. Like we feel we want to scratch that pain on that place, God feels the same way what we do to him. God cannot live with sin like us. We cannot live with pain in our body. We must get rid of it. We must get rid of it. Of course, God has the power to get rid of this pain, to get rid of those people, to force us to not to make errors, etc. But again, the free will that he gave to each one of us, which is amazing thing that he gave us free. We have a free will from God. God is our Father. God is our Creator. God is everything to us. But people are away from God, and not away from God by their own will. They are pushed by others. It's our mission to pray God in order to stop this massacre, to stop this killing of Christian, or at least the people who believe in God. So each one of us, I believe, as a soldier, has a mission to protect the face of Christianity.
Yes.
This is the mission of each one of us. And if I was praying, it's because I believe deeply that, like any Christian, I have this mission to be done. What is amazing, you know, I know that many people think the same way as I do, but they are powerless. They don't know what to do. They have lack of probably ideas, or lack of money, or lack of power, or lack of they can be handicapped, physical sickness, whatever. Anyway, even if they have the will and they want, they can't. So when God blessed me doing this, I explained it also on my previous interviews with you. He woke me one night and he said, okay, I want you to allow any Christian, all Christians, to do the same thing and be able to spread his word. I said, why? How, God? How can they do this? I am an artist. You gave me this because you are using the talent you gave me. But what about the other? He said, okay, it's very simple. Now with the electronic devices, all what you have to do is to launch this on your website. So I did. I launched all these paintings and each painting has the Old and the New Testament verses of the Bible written around it, which belongs to the painting. So, and I made a small booklet which will help people in the museum when they go in, you know, they if they are not aware of what is happening, they look to the painting, and the painting are numbered. Yeah, when you come to the museum, you see they are numbered, and the small booklet that you were nice enough to distribute some 400 of them already, you know, and this booklet will help them to look to the painting, the number, open the page, because they are numbered also sequentially, and he will read the Old Testament. The Old Testament means 2,000 years or 1,500 years before Christ, which makes 3,500 years before we came on this, we were born. And the Bible spoke already about all the life of Jesus Christ. So I picked up the Old Testament verses, as well as the New Testament verses, which allowed me to paint the painting, because I got inspired from the verses of the Bible by specifying if it is John or Matthew or, you know, any one of the four Gospels, and people can read it and realize that the painting reflects what is...
Yes, yes, it coincides with your painting, and just like with the number 10 painting, you did a Gethsemane. What a great painting that is.
Absolutely. The numbering is important to help people. So when I displayed these 14 large paintings under each one, I repeated that number. So this booklet can help them. This is one of the book also that I wrote, can help them to follow.
And that's available at the gallery for them, too.
They are available at the gallery. As a matter of fact, I have a section in my gallery. It's like the publication of Pierre Bitard. And... if you allow me, I am going to speak, you know the rest of the story, of course, people heard it before. But I would like to speak, for example, about this Life of Our Lord book. And this is what I wrote on the cover of the book. I say, this is a Christian faith witness book, rich with convincing facts, capable of restoring people's faith. The author, who is also a world-renowned artist, has been praying to God to give him the means to transmit his faith to others. God has heard his prayers and commissioned him to paint the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. His impressionistic style, brought to the world of classical and academic biblical painting a new dimension of colors and authenticity, which has contributed to the transmission of his strong faith. This book shows all these paintings and explains how the artist was inspired and guided by God to accomplish this divine mission. It also unveils a long and faithful relationship between the artist and Jesus. And this is true. I started to know Jesus when I was 11 years old, and he didn't forget that. And, you know, I told the story already before. When I was in school, I was 11 years. We had also the catechism in this school. It's a Catholic school. We were learning about the gospel. And that day, they spoke about the humiliation of Jesus and how he suffered, how he was, whipped and slapped and humiliated and...
Yes, beaten.
Yeah, and then when they crucified him, he asked to water. He said, I am thirsty, and they gave him vinegar. I was disgusted when I was young. The moment I left the school, I went home immediately. I opened the cabinet in the kitchen. I pulled a bottle of vinegar, and I drank the vinegar to show him, okay, I am sharing your pain, etc. So I was 11 years. I forgot about this, you know. It was 65 years ago. So I forgot about it, and just it happened that one day I was counting my blessing and thanking God where I was, how I became, because I was born in a poor family. My father died when I was 18. You know, I had a hard beginning. I am a self-made man. And I became what I became, you know. God helped me and gave me wealth through my art. So So I was really counting my blessing, and then I say, okay, God, why did you bless me so much? What did I do to deserve all that? I am a sinner like anybody. I did sin in my life. I am not a saint. So he reminded me by letting me visualize in a vision what happened when I was 11 years old, and I went to that cabinet and I pulled this bottle of vinegar and start drinking from it. So God never forgets, and all these things are written in my book in detail. I have in my book, I can tell you, for example, from the table of contents of that Life of Our Lord book, you will understand what is the content. It has section 1 and section 2. Section 1 is the life of our Lord. Chapter 1 is my relationship with Jesus. I explain, you know, in something like 30 pages, the relationship, the miracle I have had during my life with Jesus. The second chapter is a relation with Jesus. I explain to God that if they want to have a friend, Jesus is the best friend. He is having all the qualities to be the best friend. So they don't know how to be friends with Jesus, and I explain in detail how they can be friends of Jesus. Chapter 3, the story of the paintings. Of course, the whole story is written here, how I discover all that. And chapter 4 is the life of our Lord paintings. So you have the 14 paintings, and you have the verses of each one around them. Chapter 5, behind the scene. Behind the scene is all the difficulty that I encounter painting each one of them. So I am describing in chapter 4 all these difficulties and showing details of each painting separately and have a comment nearby and how I overcame the difficulty with God's help. Chapter 6 are questions and answers, which are very interesting, and people can discover much more reading that chapter. And finally, in chapter 7, I made a quiz for kids, you know, that I asked them, for example, I have in two pages opened the 14 paintings, and I give alphabetic number to each one, and I ask them to complete the board, for example, telling me, like the Annunciation, what is the code that I gave to the Annunciation, the letter. They look, they have to find the Annunciation and write that letter. And so on for the other 14 paintings. And the other question, like how many times Mary is in the painting, does it show in the painting, how many times John in the painting, and so on and so on. It's interesting quiz to encourage young people to know about his life. Section 2 of this book is the Holy Trinity. God inspired me to write the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity is very, very important subject to increase people's faith, because if we have difficulty proving our Christianity, the truth of Christianity, that Jesus Christ is our God, is because people ignore or do not know about the Trinity. They say how many God these people are having, etc., etc. There is only one God. There is one God, and I explain this is very nicely, like three candles together. They are sharing one flame. The essence of the flame is heat and light. So if you have the three together, you have one flame. If you pull one candle out of the three, you still have that flame. This candle separated from the other still have the faculty of heat and light, like the group of them. So God is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Together, they are one God. But if you separate one from the other, he is also God, because the essence of God is also heat and light, and the heat represents his love, and the light represents his wisdom. God is love and wisdom. And all this exists in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in the Father. Each one of them has, of course, all those qualities. Therefore, he is God. It doesn't mean we have three gods. It means that we have only one wonderful, loving God, and not a God who wants us to kill each other. Anyway, this resumes, in a way, this first book. However, I wanted to write also a book for children. So I wrote a book, it's a coloring book. And this book, I tell you what I wrote about it in the book, in the explaining on the back of the book.
Barry, in your coloring book, didn't you too show the paintings so the kids could copy those? How did you lay out the coloring book?
Well, this is what I wrote about it. The first 10 pages of this book teaches in an articulate and pleasant way all Pierre's life experience about colors. You know, I lived in colors all my life. It explains how we can obtain any color out of the million of colors that we can see every day only by mixing three basic colors. With three basic colors, you can get any color you want out of all these millions. That's the secret. It also explains about the complementary colors and the unlimited variety of gray colors and how we can use them effectively for either painting or decorating our home. It is a wonderful way to initiate younger people to Christianity and prepare them to know intimately Jesus at their young age. The book refers to Jesus as the greatest artist who painted this universe of colors. When coloring one by one the blank sketches of the paintings, they will discover the gospel and will know about the life of our Lord. It is a good way to start teaching them about Christianity. And then I made another complimentary book for large sketches. If somebody wants really to go further and color not with pencil but with watercolor, so a special paper book which has nothing but the 14 sketches again, but of course without the original colors, because they have to have the first book and then this a complimentary book, and with a larger size, so they can paint something much larger and be proud of it and sign it and frame it and, you know, show it to their neighbors.
Yes, yes, what a great idea.
Yeah, so they will increase in both art as well as knowledge about this. Imagine when you draw or you color somebody, you are spending some time studying how the artist did that. So you will go into detail of each painting, and going into detail will force them to analyze and study, and their parents can guide them also. And if the parents will read this book and buy it for their kids, the kids will really spend a wonderful time coloring, experiencing colors, and they will know about colors, and their parents will know about colors. It's very useful in our life. Colors, everything we see is colors, and people do not know how these colors came. So when I explain the complementary and how a color is beautiful, if you get near it the other complementary colors and all this, they will know how to decorate their house, they will know how to plant their flowers in their garden. So it's a primer book for everybody, for all ages. And I did also, of course, I wrote other books for the museum itself. The book of the museum itself, which I can also summarize, this museum book warrants on its own merit to be included in all art lovers' collection. Beside the life of our Lord painting, which was a divine commission, the book is unveiling for the first time the best of Pierre's artwork that he has collected jealously since 1956. Since 1956, I had paintings that I never showed to anybody.
Oh, my goodness. That's exciting, Pierre.
I kept them secret. And this museum, God said, okay, in addition, you know, on the central wall of the museum, I am using the main walls for the life of our Lord. But I have central panning, which allows me to display this painting. So I have 60 paintings of private paintings that I display. Each painting is beautifully presented in its own page with title and size. For those who would like to acquire a gicle of the private collection, they will find on each painting page a choice of sizes with their prices. The same is true that people can also order the life of our Lord in gicle, and you did order it, Dan, as you know.
Yes.
Many of those, they can order them with the size they want.
Well,
this book will also describe each of his recent published books as well as all other publications.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very important book, this museum book, and people can follow and can go to each painting they love and they will discover around it all the possible sizes which matches with the ratio of widths and heights of
the
size thinking, and they can know also the prices of the size that they choose for their house. So people can really enjoy this beautiful painting that I am proud of, and as I said, I collected them since 1956 and can use them in our home, in their homes.
Well, Pierre, we've got 1 minute left. So on the show, I want to make sure that we tell people that, you know, your gallery, you know, Pierre Bitar's gallery and the paintings of the Gospel of Jesus Christ is in Harbor Springs on Main Street, 188 East Main Street, Harbor Springs, Michigan. And you can go on Pierre Bitar's website. He's got this. It's absolutely incredible website. And that's Pierre Bitar, one word, PIERREBITTAR.com. And then you go right there and you'll see the biblical paintings, and you can click on it and you're going to see this fabulous work. And Pierre's got a video too on telling about his work, so you can see Bitar in his gallery painting.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, Dan, I take this opportunity, because time is running by, to thank you very much for all what you are doing. You are a witness of Christian faith. Your radio is doing a lot of work, and I am sure God is using you as he is using me, as he will be using and is already using many other people to save this world from what is happening.
Yes.
And I hope to see you all in my museum soon.
You will, and we are out of here.
Thanks for listening to God 321 with Dan Hutchins. God 321 is sponsored by Dihydro Services, Inc. To learn more about the person of the Holy Spirit, visit God321.net. That's God321.net. Or call 586-978-0541. That's 586-978-0541.